Welcome to Signs of Life, exploring survival of consciousness, brought to you by Forever Family Foundation, on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
I call your name, the echo is haunting, the echo is always the same. I call your name, the echo is haunting, an echo can never be changed, so I call your name, your name.
And welcome to the gathering on Signs of Life Radio. I'm Bob Ginsberg, and I'm joined by Tom and Melissa Gould and Fran Ginsberg. And tonight we're going to be talking about, the first survey in a series that we're doing, calling it the What If series. And tonight's question that we posed, and we got about 200 some odd responses to it. Let's assume that you physically died and you've awakened to find that you still exist in a realm free of physical restrictions. What do you think are the first things that you would attempt to do? So, you know, in going over, the 200 plus responses, a lot of them are similar. I noticed about five themes that a lot of people said. I thought it might be interesting to see how that compared to what we would do. So I'm going to put Melissa on the spot and ask you, what do you think are the first things that you would do?
Well, would this be assuming I already have my beliefs in place and know what I think I know?
Yeah, because it's you.
All right. Well, then I would probably some situation occurred that had me in this predicament, and I'd have one of those second takes, like, wait a minute. And then I would start to process, All right, this might be it. And this is just what we've learned and what I've come to believe is that this is more real than real. And I think I would then set out to find somebody to see if they could see me or hear me. And then I might start touching things and seeing how that connection, what comes of that, like, does my arm swipe through something? Or if someone reaches out in my space and shows no awareness that I'm even there at all. I could keep going, Bob, but I think that's the gist of it.
I think you pretty much covered the five themes that we're going to hear here tonight. That's pretty cool. You have any thoughts, Tom, on what you might have?
Yeah, I'd flip people's ears from behind to see if they notice.
We didn't hear that one, but
I like that one.
Well, you know what? If you go before me and I feel that, I'll know it's you.
So it's me. Well, of course, I know obviously the answer, well, not that there's an answer, but what we found from mediums is that the first thing I would do is try to somehow get a message through to my loved ones that I'm not gone. Mm-hmm. You know, hey, just stop crying. I'm okay. And
they wouldn't stop crying.
Well, they wouldn't stop crying because knowing that your loved one is still around is awfully comforting, but it doesn't stop the pain by any means.
Right. Yeah. Well, and as you see, as we go through these things, that's a common answer, you know, that people give. The number one, probably the number one answer was getting a message, you know, to your loved ones so you can help them so that they're not grieving. You know. How about you, Fran?
Oh, you know me already. I'm taking a totally different approach. Knowing what we believe we know, I, once, like Melissa, got settled on the other side and say, okay, this is really cool, I would get together everybody on the other side that I know already, you know, and I'd say, look, guys, the way we communicate just isn't convincing them in the physical world. We've got to get together and cook up a better way to get these messages to them.
Oh, I like that one. That's a good one.
And you patent it right away, friend, right? You'd patent it and you would get a copyright.
In fact, there's a group of discarnate German scientists who have tried that very thing, and they've come up with quite the magic show.
Oh, ectoplasm?
Ectoplasm and floating things.
Well, I have no doubt, you know, Fran was a rebel in this life, and she'll be a rebel in the life to come.
That's why you guys get along.
I think that, similar to what Melissa was saying, that the way I would react, the way people would react, is partly based on their state of mind that they had before they passed. So somebody that doesn't believe in an afterlife at all might not do the same things, at least initially, than somebody that does, you know. So probably, you know, if I found myself awakened in this other realm, after I got over the, you know, holy crap, it's true moment, I would seek to investigate all the things that we studied. You know, I'm going to see if we communicate telepathically and I could talk to other people. Or if I seem to be associated with other people of like mind, or if I could manifest things with my thought. I'd be experimenting, I think, you know, right off the bat. But who knows? We'll see. Why don't we I'll start reading some of these, you know, and then we go to a break. Some are quick. Some we can discuss. First one. Check in on my family and friends after I take a look around. I like that. Look around
a
little
bit. Take a look around first.
Take a look around first. I would attempt to let my loved ones on Earth know I still exist and give them some awesome signs to prove it. Then I would find my loved ones who previously died, that is if they weren't already around me, and have a lovely visit with them. Then, since I believe in reincarnation, I would probably have many souls to catch up with. So that was intriguing to me. I get, does she mean that she'd be meeting up with different versions of herself?
That's what I, when she mentions reincarnation first and then say I'd have a lot of souls to catch up with, it sounds like, yeah, she's only got one soul, but what she means is I'd catch up with my other selves. Yeah. Same thought. I like that one.
But could you, like, how would that work? You're about to, weren't you going to go to a break though, Bob? I don't want to cut.
It should
we
work.
Have a couple of minutes.
It should actually work, because if what we're learning is true and we're able to regress ourselves and make contact with our other selves, then our other selves are still existing, just not in the physical world. So why shouldn't we be able to hook up with them? I mean, the other observation or theory is that we, all these different incarnations of ourselves, are fragments of the same soul.
So
yeah,
but would we be one then? We'd be like one. Like when somebody's schizophrenic, they're aware of these other personalities, but one of those personalities isn't communicating with the other. They're just that personality in any given moment, and then they shift. But I don't know that much about schizophrenia, but that's how I think it might be like.
Well, I think it would be a heck of a meeting to meet all your the different fragments, and there would be the sense of recognition that you would know somehow that you're talking to a part of yourself. Hard to think of in physical terms.
Yeah, but that's right. We keep trying to think in physical
terms. Why don't you catch us up on some things before we...
Okay. We want to remind our listeners, as always, check the events page on the website, especially now with all that we're going through. Things are changing left and right. So keep checking the website for any kind of changes and posts and things like that. The only afterlife discussion group online item that's going to be meeting in April is on April 11th, and that's the Visionary Explorers group. They'll meet from 2 to 3 p.m. Eastern. If you're on the West Coast, it would be from 11 to noon Pacific, and anything you want to figure out in between. But they are definitely holding their meeting because they're online. All the other afterlife discussion group meetings in the physical have been or will be canceled as time goes on. Our Holiday of the Earth raffle, something you could do from home, and we hope you do it. It's up and running on the website. One chance is only $5, and you could be one of five winners of medium readings with Forever Family Foundation certified mediums Tracy Lee Nash, Neil Sapowski, Renee Buck, Catherine Nadal, and Elizabeth and Eliza Ray. Our next webinar coming up, also in the comfort of your own home, Psi in the Natural World, will be presented by Dr. Cal Cooper. This special live webinar is set for Saturday, April 25th. I know we normally do them on Wednesday nights. This one is being done on a Saturday afternoon from 3 to 4:30 to accommodate our members in other parts of the world as well as in the United States. We have special codes tonight for our listeners. Our member-only free seats, all you have to do is enter the code CAL2020, that's CAL2020. And if you're a non-member, you get a half-price seat by entering COOPER2020, that's COOPER2020, and you'll get a half-price non-member seat. Our annual Semma Grief Transformation Retreat is filling up. It's the Super Early Bird Special is still in effect until April 10th. It is in Chester, Connecticut, and you will be led by Forever Family Foundation certified mediums Kim Russo, Joseph Shield, who's our spirit artist, and Joe Peretta, along with our featured facilitator, Dr. Mohana. So if you're planning on going, waste no time to sign up. And you will learn at this wonderful weekend that the mystery of death is not a mystery at all, but a doorway into another chapter of continuing life. And our November 13th to 15th Biennial Afterlife and Mediumship Convention in Fort Myers, Florida has been canceled. We are not going ahead with that. But we do remind our listeners to please help us keep all of our programs going by visiting our website, clicking on the donation button. It's on every single page. We need your support now more than ever. Because of the work we do not receive the grants and funding that all of the traditional not-for-profits enjoy. And you can help us pay our bills by participating in iGive.com, Amazon.com, Amazon Smile, and great nonprofits while you are home and on the internet shopping. That's a great thing to keep in mind. And follow us on YouTube channel for great stories and videos at youtube.com/afterlifeeducation. And that's it.
Back to you, Bob. All right, we're going to go to our break. When we come back, we'll continue with our questions, our answers to the survey. And also, if you have an experience or if you would like to share what you would do if you crossed over, the first thing that you would do, give us a call at 1-888-627-6008. So we're going to take a quick break and we'll be back in a few minutes. Stay with us.
The CAMLAC Center is putting birth and death back together again. Aimed at changing the way we look at death, the CAMLAC Center was founded in 2002 as a publishing company and teaching center. When we know that there is nothing but life, we realize that birth and death are events in time and space. Our grief can open us to other dimensions of reality and allow us to experience our loved ones who are no longer in the physical body. Our events and products are based on personal experiences of survival of consciousness after physical death and decades of research into how death has influenced the development of our consciousness. Visit www.camlac.com, that's K-A-M-L-A-K.com, for articles, videos, books, and more to help you cope with the loss of a loved one.
Imagine seeing spirits are spontaneously speaking indigenous Brazilian rainforest languages. Janet Mayer, a psychic medium, does just that. In her new book, Spirits, They Are Present, she opens the door to her private life in order to share her compelling, fearful, and at times humorous journey providing evidence that when we die, we simply make a transition to another life. Spirits, they are present. Available now at www.janetmayer.net, Amazon, and other online booksellers. Order your copy today.
When grieving the loss of a loved one, sometimes a hug is just what you need. Hugs from Heaven are lightly weighted shoulder wraps that are made from the fabric of your loved one's clothing. Your clothing can also be made into memory pillows and sachets. Each Hugs from Heaven is handmade with loving care and is as unique as your loved one's spirit. Visit us at hugsfromheaven.com. That's hugs, spelled with a Z, from heaven.com. Who couldn't use a hug?
We all grieve in different ways, and let's face it, grief hurts. Losing a loved one is usually the hardest event we will ever face. We can throw our hands up and become hardened by our grief, or we can take positive steps to transform it. Love Knows No Death, a groundbreaking and powerful grief transformation method, can be what you've been looking for to provide some peace and understanding. It was created and written by medical doctor and professor Dr. Piero Calvi Perazzetti, and it's a combination of a self-help workbook and video course. The workbook has the power to lessen grief and foster significant healing, and has already helped countless people to not only lead productive lives, but to do so with the knowledge that they will indeed see their loved ones again. The workbook could be purchased for $19.95 on Amazon or on the ForeverFamilyFoundation.org grief and loss page, where a digital version is also available for $9.95. Love knows no death. Truer words have never been spoken.
Starseed Gems Studios in Cocoa, Florida fuses cremation ashes within art glass, making beautiful stones. The ashes are visible in the darkness and resemble a beautiful night sky. Starseed Gems, developed by the parents of a young man who passed away, are set in hand-sculpted silver and gold settings. Prices start at $150. Visit www.starseedgems.com or call 321-632-7770. That's www.starseedgems.com or 321-632-7770.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by Forever Family Foundation.
Welcome back to the gathering on Signs of Life. We're reading your answers when we ask you the question, what were the first things that you would attempt to do if you woke up in another realm after physical death? And if you, I know a lot of people wrote in, if you want to call and tell us, 1-888-627-6008. So let's go with some of the continue with some of the list. I'd go check on my family to see how they were doing, and then I'd fly to Ireland. I always wanted to visit in this life, but never got to do it. Now, you know, out of these, there's probably 20 or 30 people that talk about flying. And I wonder if that's just our cultural concept of what happens in this heaven-like existence. You know, I can fly. My sense of it is that in the afterlife realm, we're not flying per se. We're thinking of where we would like to be, and sort of like Star Trek, we just
materialize.
We're just there, you know. Mm-hmm. So you know, but I thought that was interesting. I'd hug my son, obviously, and ask all the unanswered questions. Find my son and my parents. I would first take time to meet, get to know, and thank my team of angels and guides. Mm-hmm. Next, I would attempt to find and meet up with friends and family members who transitioned before I did. And next, I would start learning how to communicate and get along and around in the spirit world. Soon after this, I would learn how to communicate with those still on Earth. And next, I would find out about all of the universities and places of learning in the afterlife. I would be quick to begin on my path of further progression upward. So I think she covered all the bases there.
It sounds to me that she has a firm grounding and belief in the fact that we never stop developing our soul, that our soul continues to grow and we continue to learn and we continue to become enlightened. That's what I hear her saying.
Yeah. And also learning, she said, I would learn how to communicate. So that, I think that's true. I mean, a lot of people think that just because they're in this other dimension that instantly they'll be able to communicate. I would think not. Who knows?
Well, going back to the book, The Blue Island, that's what they reported when the people were dying after the Titanic crashed, was that they were greeted by spirit entities who assisted them in the single most important thing, which is communicating that you are okay to those that you left behind in the physical world. So she's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I really appreciated all of that. I would just tweak it a little when she said I would go and find my family members that had transpired before me. What I've come to understand is they'll be waiting for you there. They'll find you. But other than that, I think that was a great response.
Yeah. Obviously, a lot of people, the first thing they would do is to find their deceased relatives. You know, this one, to find my daughter, my mother, my father, my grandfather, and my grandmother. There's a lot of people. Meet my son and my parents. Another one, I would attempt to locate family members and friends who had preceded me. I would then want to learn as much as possible about this realm and my place in it. I would also try to find answers to the meaning of life on Earth. And then she puts, that should be enough for a start. So
checklist.
That's interesting, too, because what do we always talk about? You know, everybody, what's the meaning of life? So yes. Will we know in this other realm? I think we'll know more.
Yes. All shall be revealed. All shall be revealed.
We're all going to be back with hysterical laughter over what we believed before we got there.
Yeah.
First and foremost, visit with family and friends. Second, visiting a library would be very much anticipated. And of course, the two are predicated on the idea that other obligations are not required first.
Oh, so, how about that life review?
Yeah. Another one writes, I do genealogy as a hobby, so I would try to go to wherever relatives and friends are residing in this realm to talk with them and learn from them. So because of his work here, he knows all the different, you know, souls that he would want to contact. That's interesting.
Is he hoping to bring his chart over with him?
I don't know. Maybe.
Or maybe he thinks he can access ancestry.com while he's there.
Yeah. He would also like to explore the ultimate questions, how the universe was created and how it functions. Okay, so another one says, travel or move fast. Try to project myself across distances or spaces and see what I can view. I mean, that's a reasonable thing. Try to connect with my kids. I would try to locate my girlfriend. I would find my loved ones, family, and friends. Fly as quickly as possible. Flying theme again to my son. Explore the universe. Try to contact my earthbound loved ones. Another one, I would love to fly. I have recurring dreams of flying, and the strange thing is that I yearn to do it, but I'm afraid of heights. But I don't feel fear flying on my own when I pass. I look forward to it.
It's true, but I haven't heard any. I haven't heard anybody in a reading talk about it, so I'm curious whether that can be done.
Yeah, that is true. Mediums don't talk about. They don't communicate messages from their loved ones that said that they transported themselves here or there. That never comes up. I mean, do you ever hear that in a medium reading?
No, but I think that what you started to say at the beginning when you noticed so many people using the word fly or the theme flying is that because culturally and religiously, many people have believed that there is a heaven up there and a hell down there, that if you're up in the sky someplace, you, of course, must be flying. Angels have wings, therefore they're flying.
Yeah.
We make all these conclusions based on things that probably are not really true.
Yeah.
Or, you know, or just figuratively stated a certain way just to get a point across, but then we've taken it to heart as being, you know, absolutely that way.
Yeah, well, we're entities of thought, so everything that we do is through thought, and we communicate that way, and we move around that way, so it's hard to put in terms we can understand.
A couple of things that I've heard in reading, my father has come through many times, and one thing I remember him saying is that everything happens really fast over here. Like everything goes like a jet plane. And what exactly he meant by that not necessarily flying, but just that things happen quickly. And then in another one, he mentioned, oh, you see that guy out there jet skiing? When this reading's over, I'm going to go out and ride on the back of that jet ski. You know, I can ride all day and he never even knows I'm there. So how does he get to the jet ski? Either he flies out there or he just teleports himself there.
You know, just as Tom started to talk about his dad, we have another computer sitting side by side and pictures just keep playing over and his dad's face popped up. All the other pictures have been the grandkids, all of them. But when Tom talked about that, there was dad.
Yeah.
Paying attention.
Yep.
Paying attention. Get my bearings and figure out where I am. Figure out if my body is whole again.
That's a good
and
one.
Attempt to see those I left behind. Find my family members and animals who passed before me. Find my favorite horse and see if riding is feasible. If possible, fly with my horse.
Yeah. Pegasus.
Yeah. Visit my son who crossed over. I would also like to visit certain areas of the earth at different times in the past. Interesting.
Cool.
Yeah.
So there's no such thing as time there. So maybe you have access to past, present, and future no matter where you are.
Well, I think that's what Mr. Gould was trying to tell us, is that everything's there and it's just happening really, really fast. Now, in this physical world, if things were passing by us that fast, we'd miss this, we'd miss that, but apparently they'll miss it. It doesn't matter how fast it goes by them, they take it in.
Yeah. I'd be overjoyed if that's still possible for a brain-dead person. Yeah, brain dead is different, you know, is dead and then is after death, you know. I would try to get my bearings and orient myself. I would try to communicate the good news to my family, friends, and other fellow humans. Good answer. Another one that was search for people and animals, connect with my loved ones. Now, here's one. I'll read it because the same answer I might have given 20 years ago. I cannot imagine this reality, nor do I believe it is even remotely possible, so I'm unable to answer this question. I apologize if this is not helpful to whatever information you're trying to garner, but thanks for the invaluable service that your organization is filling in today's world. So, you know, it's an honest answer, and it's an answer that, this is something I would have thought was totally nuts, like I said, 20 years ago. So I was him.
I love that. Actually, I love that answer because it shows that he's got an open mind. I agree. You know, I'm with you, Bob, that I need the science. I need somebody to explain it in terms I can understand. I need to see it for myself. And until then, I've got a healthy amount of skepticism. But I just think that's great that somebody who feels that strongly, no, this is all bunk, is still listening and still has an open mind for it. I appreciate that. So keep up the skepticism and keep listening.
And that they like your organization, our organization.
Right.
They keep up the good work. Then they're They're hopeful.
Right. Well, that's another thing. I mean, regardless of whether you believe or don't believe, it's very clear the benefit that mm-hmm. the Forever Family Foundation has brought to many, many people who really need it. So, I appreciate that whole message.
Yeah, I agree. Here's one that said, I would want to be reunited with my loved ones, especially my wife and brother. I would kiss, hug, and hold them and cry tears of relief. I would not let them go for some time, I suspect. I think that's an emotion we all, you know, can relate to. Let my living loved ones know that I'm fine. Some people, as you might expect, still, you know, associate the afterlife with religion. So here was one. I would want to communicate directly with God about how this all really happened. That is, how did we all end up leaving the condition of God and all our souls interwoven with God for a world of physical bodies, suffering, and death in the earth dimension? How did a part of the mind, thoughts within our souls, split off and get lost in matter and time and so-called personalities? That's interesting. You know, we went, you know, questioning how, you know, the deity would let that happen. You know, we went from a place of compassion and love to a place we often experience suffering and hardship. A lot of people grapple with that.
And you can make a whole separate show on that.
Yeah.
Yeah, true.
Yeah.
Well, and of course the answer is, well, you signed up for it. You agreed to it when you came down here.
Oh, here's the paper. visit my son and husband and friends in their dreams to show them I'm alive and well and assure them. I would want to spare them the grief and sadness. I would ask them to call on me whenever they needed comfort, support, or protection, and I'll send them signs that they will know it's me. I'll talk to them so they can hear my voice and know that it's me.
That's good.
Yeah. I like this one. I would just take it all in.
Yeah, there you go.
I think that's a pretty good one. Let's see. I would find the families, the family members that went, my husband, my parents. I would try to contact the ones left behind to let them know I'm still alive. I would try to guide them somehow. I'd also look for my pets. After I've done these things, I would go about finding out what my new role in the spirit world is going to be. So there's an assumption that we have specific roles that we play. You know, it's not sitting on a cloud somewhere. We're taking active part in helping others, which seems to be a consistent theme in all the literature. So I would want to gain a greater understanding of who I am and where I am. I would want to try to understand the meaning of life and the life of others and the universe, and I would want to connect with others and share what I learned. So we've heard that before. I would go to the ocean and ride on a boat with my dad. I wouldn't want anything else.
That's nice. That's nice.
Yeah, I like that. Here's one. It's long. I won't read it, but a person wrote in that they had a near death experience and they already had a glimpse and know, you know, what it's like over there. They never felt anything like that when they moved back to the physical, and they knew that when she was in that other realm that she was home, you know, as opposed to, you know, so this is not home, that's home.
Yeah. I think that's the feeling I would feel.
Yeah. Yeah.
So let's go to another break. We'll be back in a few minutes. Stay with us.
The CAMLAC Center is putting birth and death back together again. Aimed at changing the way we look at death, the CAMLAC Center was founded in 2002 as a publishing company and teaching center. When we know that there is nothing but life, we realize that birth and death are events in time and space. Our grief can open us to other dimensions of reality and allow us to experience our loved ones who are no longer in the physical body. Our events and products are based on personal experiences of survival of consciousness after physical death and decades of research into how death has influenced the development of our consciousness. Visit www.camlak.com, that's K-A-M-L-A-K.com, for articles, videos, books, and more to help you cope with the loss of a loved one.
Am I Psychic is a mobile app designed using statistics, science, and parapsychological protocols to test psychic ability using fun games. Each game has two unique modes. In psychokinesis mode, influence the game using mind over matter ability. In extrasensory perception mode, guess which random option will be chosen. Am I Psychic can store your results in an anonymous database used to eventually publish in academic journals. Available on the App Store and Google Play. Go to ampsychicapp.com and be a part of proving psychic phenomena to the world. Some profits will be donated to the Rhine Research Center.
When grieving the loss of a loved one, sometimes a hug is just what you need. Hugs from Heaven are lightly weighted shoulder wraps that are made from the fabric of your loved one's clothing. Your clothing can also be made into memory pillows and sachets. Each Hugs from Heaven is handmade with loving care and is as unique as your loved one's spirit. Visit us at hugsfromheaven.com. That's hugs, spelled with a Z, from heaven.com. Who couldn't use a hug?
I would like to introduce you to the Forever Family Foundation, a nonprofit organization whose mission is to provide support for families who have suffered the loss of a loved one. We believe in the continuity of the family, even though a member has left the physical world. We invite anyone who's trying to cope with the loss of a loved one to contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707 or on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
We all grieve in different ways, and let's face it, grief hurts. Losing a loved one is usually the hardest event we will ever face. We can throw our hands up and become hardened by our grief, or we can take positive steps to transform it. Love Knows No Death, a groundbreaking and powerful grief transformation method, can be what you've been looking for to provide some peace and understanding. It was created and written by medical doctor and professor Dr. Piero Calvi Perazzetti, and it's a combination of a self-help workbook and video course. The workbook has the power to lessen grief and foster significant healing, and has already helped countless people to not only lead productive lives, but to do so with the knowledge that they will indeed see their loved ones again. The workbook can be purchased for $19.95 on Amazon or on the foreverfamilyfoundation.org grief and loss page, where a digital version is also available for $9.95. Love knows no death. Truer words have never been spoken.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by Forever Family Foundation.
And welcome back to the gathering on Signs of Life Radio. We're discussing your answers to a survey question of what the first things that you would do if you physically died and woke up in the afterlife. And we're going through a whole bunch of them. A lot of common themes. Some of the common themes are find relatives, get messages to loved ones, explore, find out meaningful answers, and fly. Of course, there's a lot more. Here's one. Just tell my family and friends it's true. I like that. Forgive those that have ever hurt me with their words. Love more. Say I love you more to family members, and so forth. Here's one. Take in my surroundings by whatever means can be done without a body and rejoice that I still exist and have escaped whatever pain, suffering, or illness that brought me to this point.
Wow.
Yeah, you're free of all that. All of that.
Yeah. hug my loved ones on both sides of the veil, try to show my family still in the physical I'm still here, and take long walks with my spirit fur babies. Go to find my son, breathe and move around, find my higher power, let my family know I'm okay. It's interesting. When dive all the oceans, I'd like to explore the Mariana Trench, dive under the polar ice cap, visit shipwrecks, and swim next to a Humboldt squid. And that's just the first day.
This is great.
That's a good one. Make sure I didn't have a dream, and then focus on what I learned during that time. So that's interesting, too, because you'd be afraid that you're just dreaming it and it wasn't real, right? So
yeah.
That. Question is harder than I thought that it would be to answer.
Wow.
The first thought that popped into my mind is fly. But what does that mean in this realm? Fly where? You know, the next thoughts would be about my family. I want to see loved ones that have passed before me. I want to be reassured by those who have gone ahead of me. I want to reach out to reassure those that I've left behind. And I believe with all my being that our spirit lives after our physical body expires, but I still have anxiety and even fear of the unknown.
Wow.
Honest answer. We it's like built into us that we fear the unknown. You know, a lot of people... you didn't hear that in a lot of the responses, but it's an honest answer. I mean, truly, we don't really know. You know, we're sitting here talking about what we would do, but we don't really know.
But don't you then question where you came from? Like, how did I get here?
Yeah.
So, you know, the analogy is when a baby's being born, it passes through this dark tunnel towards the light, and then it comes into the physical world, and that same thing happens when it's the end of our time here. We pass through this dark tunnel towards the light. So it's just this cyclical thing that keeps happening.
But it's still, you know, the human emotion is to fear something that we don't know to be true. So
is that true? Because I don't fear.
Most people, even in physical things, I mean, aren't you anxious and fearful of certain situations that you're being put into?
Yeah.
You know, so I mean, we like to know the answers. When we don't,
but I'm talking about fearful of situations in the physical realm when you're leaving it.
Yeah.
Assuming you have that knowledge and education that you're leaving it to a better place, to a different kind of a place where there's no pain, there's no disease, there's no...
Right. And we don't... People that do transition, if you believe the reports from all the near-death experiences and the mediums and so forth, they don't talk about being fearful once they cross over, right?
No, mm-hmm. No.
Has anybody interviewed them about the moment they crossed over? Were they fearful? I'm trying to reflect back on that book, Stroke of Lightning or whatever it was, where she really, she was leaving her car, she was struck by lightning and she had a near-death experience. And she really explains blow by blow what she's thinking at the time when the lightning is striking her, what she's trying to reason is happening to her. Well, and she does it step by step by step until she realizes that she's no longer in the physical world.
Yeah, and I don't think in those kind of accounts, in the NDE accounts, they're not the fear is of being away from family, but there's no fear of where they're headed and in the other realm. So I mean, you have remorse. Oh my God, what are my kids going to do? But you like what you're seeing, you know.
I was referring to the fear of death.
Same thing. Very few, if any, of the near-death experiences come back to say that they were fearful. It's quite the opposite, that they were going home to a place they belong, and a place all encompassing love and light. So,
right, they're struck with how much love and joy there is. They're struck with how beautiful everything is. And as Bob says, a lot of them, they don't want to come back. When they're revived, it's like, well, what'd you do that for? Yeah. I like that.
Yeah. Another one, I call to my loved ones to come to me. That's interesting, too. You know, most of what we believe is that they're there. You don't have to summon them. You know, they're escorting you.
The same way when you go for a medium reading.
Yeah.
They're not summoned, right. But somehow they know that they can make the connection directly to you.
Right.
Kind of like your dad showing up on that. Yeah. He was right there. And he hasn't come back.
Look around to get the lay of the land and to see if there was anyone there that I knew. I'd be in a vigilant state trying to understand where I was and did it fit in with what I'd been studying about the afterlife. You know? So if you have a background, you know, in this, I would agree. You're trying to see if the depictions are accurate once you're there. I think I would personally would dance like ballet. I like to dance like ballet dancing. I love the music. It raises my vibrancy. The moves are angelic and swift. It's always interesting. You know, people look forward to things that they never got to do in the physical that they will be able to do over there. And who knows? I guess we will. Locate my loved ones is the first thing. Reconnect with lost loved ones. And try my best to let those who have not yet crossed know about this divine order. There's no need to be sad because we're still connected and we'll be together again in a way that will be better understood once they arrive. Mm-hmm. I would feel incredibly happy and grateful to be home again. Then I would seek out my guides and have a long talk. And then seek out those soul friends with whom I want to see and share and talk with from our higher self point of view. The theme of being home again. That we talk about that often, like this is the dream world and that's the real world. So awakening from a dream and going back home. Yeah.
That's like that song, Swing Low, Sweet Chariot, coming for to carry me home.
I'm looking for, there are so many that, you know, of quite similar, because that is the first thing that we would do is, you know, find or be met or greeted by a lost loved ones. When I say lost, but loved ones who went before us. I would be anxious to find out what would be expected of me there as a new arrival, as well as to discover whether the physical world we're coming from was only an illusion, and this new realm of existence, our true home. That's what we should, there you go, we're just talking about that. Physically explore and attempt all possible modes of transportation. Determine if my new reality mirrors my living minus the restrictions and negative components. I would soar above the earth and soak in all its natural beauty that I didn't get to see and experience alongside my loved ones that I couldn't wait to be reunited with. I give my family signs that I was around them. I've told them that after I die, if they aren't living a healthy life or doing wrong things, they'll know that I'm not pleased. Little warning.
I'm thinking back to the person who said, you know, what's in store for them, thinking, okay, now what do I have to do? What didn't I get right when I was on Earth or in that incarnation of a physical body? So what's in store for me now? Because if we come with, you know, the reincarnation idea might be you reincarnate to work on those skills or emotions or lessons until you kind of get them right, so you're ready to elevate to that higher level. And so it would certainly be interesting. You think you got it all right, and then you get up to the other side and go, no, you didn't quite nail that one.
But she's bringing up a very important point that I don't think anybody has touched upon, which is the life review. It's like, if I'm crossing over, the first thing I'm going to do is a life review, and I'm going to experience all the things that I may not have done with love and compassion and that I need to work on. Nobody, I mean, you're not through the list yet, but so far nobody has touched upon regrets or their life review or what they may have not done, what's expected of it, or what their job was here. They were all worried about their job's going to be over there.
Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of like getting your work orders. Have that life review. Okay. I see I have a little checklist here. Let's get started.
Well, the concept is so powerful because if you physically feel, you know, the hurt that you imposed on others, it's a pretty strong incentive for you to get your act together in this new realm. Right? You don't want that feeling to happen again, right? And the opposite is true too. That wonderful feeling of the glowing feeling that you get from all the things that you did that helped other people, you want to replicate that again. So what could be a stronger, as you said, the incentive than a life review? First, try to contact my children and spouse. Let them know everything's okay. Try to better understand what life and individual consciousness is all about. Try to communicate what I learned to my loved ones and other physical beings. Well, and it says, all this raises the question, why do so few experience these communications? Is it difficult to communicate, or does our culture just not readily notice the communications, or both? I say both. I'm trying to see if we have any that we, you know, that are on a different path. A lot of people have that same theme of soaring, flying all areas of the earth. You know, everybody talks about, you know, flying and visiting all these places on earth, but very few talk about the places that aren't on earth. You know, why just earth?
Yeah, it's a huge universe.
Yeah.
What? Nobody talked about exploring the possibility of aliens and what that might be. And are aliens on the other side with us when we cross over?
Oh, wow.
Alternate dimensions. Yeah. And somebody did mention times, different times on Earth, different parts in history. But yeah, an alternate dimension or that other planet somewhere in the galaxy that's exactly or very similar to what we're experiencing here. Things like that would be nice to know.
Yeah, I don't think that we have all the answers when we cross over. I think we have more answers than what we do here, but I think that's by design because it's a continual progression and we learn more and more and more, and that's our incentive to keep moving, you know, and learning. Theoretically, eventually, we all find out all the answers, right? We can move up to that level. So that's the way I think of it. So it's time to wrap up. I just want to mention that everybody should pay attention, be cautious, stay in place, and let's get rid of this virus.
Agreed.
So and now, also those people who we would say unfortunately have passed due to the virus are all the ones now on the other side experiencing all the things we've been talking about for the past hour. So maybe they'll come back and tell us. There are new spirits over there, so maybe they'll come back and tell us about it.
I like that. We'll wait for their guidance. But now we're going to ask our listeners to join us in our global peace prayer. Now, may the universe create a channel of healing energy from our participating listeners, sending that energy to those who are in need of recovery of the physical body, spirit, and mind. Now let us, as one consciousness, give our energy of loving thought by praying like this: to love one another, to treat others as we would like to be treated, to forgive others and return love for hate, kindness for anger, to spread this feeling to everyone, to our fellow man, as well as the earth and its environment. And now it's time to say,
our loved ones are only a heartbeat away.
And science is going to prove it.
Good night, everyone.